Welcome to Stock Talk, the new Stockhouse podcast series that brings you behind-the-scenes insights into trending topics from capital markets, influencers, and entrepreneurs, broadcasting from the heart of the financial district in beautiful downtown Vancouver.
Welcome to Stock Talk, where we help listeners and investors understand more about investment opportunities in emerging markets. My name is Omri Wallach, editorial writer here at Stockhouse Media, and on today's episode of Stock Talk, we look at the growing esports market, understand the hype, and figure out where the value lies. And who better to walk us through this journey than our guest today, Menashe Kestenbaum, esports and video games expert, and the president and founder of Enthusiast Gaming Holdings, Inc. Thank you very much for joining us today on the Stock Talk podcast, Menashe.
Thank you, Omri. Hi, everyone. I'm very delighted to be here and excited to talk to you about my favorite subject, gaming and esports.
Hey, my favorite subject as well. And you know what? We can jump right into it. Why don't we start with how real this market is and what some of our listeners might be struggling to understand? You know, there's been a lot of hype around esports and gaming over the last few years, as we both know. How has that translated into the billions of dollars that we're talking about today?
I think it's what people don't realize, or maybe they're starting to realize, is that these are real, actual human beings in real scale. I remember back in the 90s, I was a huge gamer, but there was officially only about 100 million gamers in the world. You know, they were playing in their living rooms, Nintendo, Sega, eventually the PlayStation. And before that, even fewer amount of gamers played on Atari, Commodore 64, PC. But now, due to the penetration of smartphones and the advances in technology, and most importantly, the internet, it's created an entire ecosystem to the point that this is no longer a living room only experience. This is something that's not niche. It's now become the predominant form of entertainment in the world. And when you have 2.3 billion people playing video games, whether on their phones, their computers, consoles, who knows what else in the future, that you can't ignore that anymore. The money is going to flow where the attention span is, where the eyeballs are, just like every other industry, you know, since the beginning of time.
And let's focus in on the esports market, because all the analysts and all the expectations are that the esports market is expected to continue growing well into the 2020s. Given your position, where do you see that growth being directed?
Well, what's really interesting, and you know how we got involved with the Aquilinis, is that they are traditional sports entertainment owners, right? They own the Vancouver Canucks, they own professional lacrosse teams, and they saw all of their other sports team owners across North America all getting involved in esports because they all felt that that is kind of the future of where sports entertainment is going. It's kind of the cross section of video games with sports. Right, it's competitive in nature, which is always a draw for people across the world who love sports or any form of competitive entertainment. And it's combined with video games, which has taken over the world. So when you combine those two, you create something that's just electric in terms of its draw for millennials, for you know, anyone between the age of five or six, and the age of 45, whoever's been exposed to video games. So that draw is real, and it doesn't require sitting on a couch. You could actually participate, play the game, or watch on your computer, watch it anywhere. And the internet has made it that you could kind of collaborate socially, which is something that, you know, in sports, if you sit on your couch watching it, you can speak to the person next to you, but the only other social experience is if you go out to either a bar or you go to the game itself. But over here, the social and community aspect of esports is instantaneous. You know, you could be on Twitch chatting with other people, you could be on message boards and forums and social media. So it's just exploded in terms of how viral it's gone, how electric, and you know, how engaging this is for its audience. And we're really, I believe, at the tip of the iceberg. We're in the first inning of the game in this esports industry. You're going to see it evolve and evolve until it just, you know, it's the headlines everywhere. So I think that in terms of where specifically we're going to see growth being directed, there's going to be a few different aspects to it. One aspect is the spectator aspect. You know, right now we have YouTube, we have Twitch. Twitch has been kind of this homegrown place for a lot of esports tournaments and pro players and entertainment players, all kind of being nurtured and cultivated over there. But many others are throwing their hat into the ring as well and taking some of the players over. So you have Mixer, you have YouTube, you have Facebook. They're all getting involved too. And I think that spectator element of it is really important. And that's going to be a big factor in esports. The other factor, I think, is going to be, you know, with the teams and the players themselves. You know, if we just look at Asia as a model of what's going to come here, because it went from Asia in terms of popularity and filling out stadiums first. And the pro players there for esports became the national celebrities. And then that moved over to Europe. And now it's finally reaching America. And, you know, we just got started here, but you're going to see the teams and the brands and the pro players being the, you know, the Wayne Gretzky's and the Michael Jordans of this next generation. And that's something that's sometimes hard for the older generation to understand and to believe, but it's real. You know, just look at their social media followers and you'll see that, you know, there are players who have more people following them on social media than the, you know, the Lakers have in the NBA for the entire team. So I think that's a really important part. And the last point would be, I think the methods of social engagement and community, which is where we kind of fit in. You know, we have both aspects to us with the teams part and the players part, where we compete within the top five esports organizations in terms of teams and players. But, you know, a big aspect of this is fueling the communities and the communication between the gamers and the esports fans afterwards when they come over to the websites and social media. So I think those are the three key areas of growth.
And Menashe, let's try to break it down even more. You know, you mentioned the Aquilini's. Enthusiast Gaming owns and manages several pro esports teams, including with the Aquilini's, the Vancouver Titans Overwatch team. How do pro teams fit into that esports investment landscape?
So think of esports teams as, you know, this isn't really like the NBA or the NHL or the NFL right when it began, because those were pre-internet. You know, the TV wasn't as widespread either. It was hard to get those balls rolling. So this is definitely, you know, snowballed way past that, but it's still early on in terms of these are the future of sports teams. You know, sports probably will always have some kind of a place, traditional sports, but you're really going to see this play out. Just, it's hard to compete with technology, right? Facebook, I don't remember what number they're up to right now in terms of, I think it's close to 2 billion people have Facebook. And only half the world right now has the internet, and each year that grows. The more you have smartphone penetration across the world, the more you have internet, it's going to become overpowering that you can't, you know, someone from China could compete in a minute with someone in Toronto, right? Like across the world, you could be playing with each other. And that kind of thing is due to technology. And that's why I think you're really going to find this new generation who's used to things socially happening through a social network. Spectator-wise, they're plugging into their phones to watch Netflix or Twitch or YouTube, and then they're playing video games. It's going to be so hard to compete with that these are really going to become the sports teams of the future. And that's kind of why we're involved with, we own a big chunk of the Seattle Surge Call of Duty team. We co-own the Vancouver Titans of the Overwatch League. We have five other teams, you know, whether in Ubisoft's Rainbow Six, in Apex, in of course Fortnite, in Madden. So we're competing in the, you know, in the top level in all of these, and that's because we believe that these esports franchises are just going to grow. So, you know, we want to get in the ground floor and watch them grow in, you know, franchise value appreciation.
And on that note, we mentioned a lot of games. What role in the investment landscape do game developers play in today's esports market?
Game developers are actually quite powerful. I mean, it's quite risky at the same time. Mm-hmm. So there's a double-edged sword over here for the game developer. On one hand, you know, no one owns the game of basketball. Anyone could go and pick up the game of basketball. You don't have to pay any royalty fees. You don't have to pay a price. Now, the NBA has kind of taken the game and made infrastructure that allows for, you know, scale that we all kind of chip into and agree to. And that's a good business model. But when it comes to game developers, if you're playing League of Legends and, you know, Riot Games owns the game itself and can control everything about the league. So that kind of gives a certain unfair advantage to the developers. Now, what balances that out is the fact that, games change very rapidly. You know, you're able to make a change to a game on the fly. Games also, you know, gamers could play it for a couple of years at the most, and then they start getting bored of it. You know, nowadays, even 3 to 6 months in, they're bored of the game and want to move on, which constantly pushes developers to have to put out new updates, new exciting things. But it doesn't always mean that that people will return to it with the same kind of fervor that they had at the beginning. And you've seen that with games like Fortnite, where it's waxed and waned in popularity. You've had games like World of Warcraft, which have had a good decade run, and they're still finding ways of re-engaging with their old fans. But it's not the same level as it used to be. So with a game developer, they can't just invent the game of basketball and just, you know, hey, it's going to be around for 100 years. They have to be, you know, there's a lot of risk there, which is why I think that, you know, there's also kind of a balancing out in that they need kind of the players, they need the team organizations and brands to participate because they bring additional resources, they bring additional exposure. So it's a little bit different than the traditional sports world, and it'll be interesting to see over the next couple of years how that's going to play out and evolve.
As we try to wrap up this podcast, let's try to help out investors and go the kind of the pros and cons or what we see in esports developing and what maybe investors should look at. So, Menashe, as president of Canada's largest esports and gaming company, what is your take on where the money is in esports right now? Where should investors be looking?
So I think what's important to look at right now is business models. There's a lot of companies getting involved in esports. Some of them are small, some of them are large. How do you know kind of who is real, who is not? And to me, it comes down to, like any other company, you need to see where the traction is and who has actually found a business model that makes money. Because when you have eyeballs, when you have a brand, you have to find a way to turn that into a business model, right? You can't just have the scale. So I think that looking at where users have actually joined, users are actually participating and are giving the numbers in terms of attention, exposure, users, that's really important. And then additionally, you know, who's actually making money or who really shows signs that they can make money from it. You know, there is a lot of money to be made over here because wherever attention is, you'll make money, right? Netflix has attention, therefore, they have a subscription model. They make money. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what investors really have to look at when they're, if, you know, 20 different investments come across their desk into an esports organization, they have to really drill down to who is making money, who has a real path to revenue, and has a business model that seems sound. And then also, you know, who has actual traction in terms of users, user base. So, you know, if someone's starting off with a cool new beta software, unless you know the founders, it might be worthwhile to say, come back when you have your first 20,000 users using it and showing kind of positive traction. Because there's a lot of ideas out there and it's kind of a very young space. In a very young space, you can, if you don't know it really, really well, it's hard to know what a good idea is versus a bad idea. So investors need some kind of clues to show them what's real and what's not real. And that always comes back to the same thing that, you know, tech and software world has always come back to, which is either users or revenue. And if the company doesn't have one of the two, it's going to be hard, unless you know it, the space really well, to know who's positioned to be a success as an investment.
And to expand on that a bit, and this might be tricky, but in your opinion, what parts of the esports market may leave investors wanting right now?
Well, I think that there's a lot of risk in terms of if you don't know esports well, and you just kind of pick and choose in something that you think sounds like a good idea, mm-hmm. Do you really know how the gaming industry works? Is that a good idea? If they don't have the revenue or they don't have users, haven't shown any kind of proven track record, then I think that's the biggest point of it, is that being educated and having an inside knowledge of esports is going to be tough unless for you know a generation that has more money but isn't necessarily involved in video games and esports. So, you know, in order to allow them to invest safely and ride the upside of this obviously growing industry, because they don't want to be left behind if there's real investments to make money, and there are, they just have to pick and choose that they don't get, you know, caught by something flashy, which sounds like a cool idea in their mind. But if you ask a real gamer, it might be actually ridiculous. You know, I've seen a lot of these companies pop up, and, you know, the real gamers will come and say, oh, that's a terrible idea. But to someone who doesn't play games, it might not actually sound like a bad idea. So always revert back to real numbers, you know, user numbers, impressions, views. You know, if you have esports organizations that are getting views, or revenue, because that shows that they actually have a model that's working.
Thank you for the insight, Menashe, and thank you again for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you.
Esports has a lot of hype behind it, but it is definitely a growing market with a lot of value for investors who, like Menashe said, know where to look. I'd like to once again thank our guest for this podcast, Menashe Kestenbaum, president and founder of Enthusiast Gaming Holdings, for joining us on Stock Talk today. I'm Omri Wallach for Stockhouse Media, and this has been your latest Stock Talk.
Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Stockhouse for the latest updates on all your favorite public companies in North America. For more in-depth coverage, industry news, and to connect with our active investor community, you can visit our website at stockhouse.com. Also, don't forget to visit our new and improved Stockhouse Deal Room on site for unique and exclusive private placement opportunities only available on stockhouse.com.